Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. I am super excited about today's show. We have a host of great topics, and I am thrilled to talk about them. I've literally been waiting all week to talk to you guys about these topics. I posted on the topics on Instagram, and I got so much good feedback that I can't wait to dig into. If you joined last week, I want to thank you again for joining. We had some great conversations, and fortunately, some of those conversations continued. If you haven't done so already, I'm going to ask that you go ahead and follow me on Instagram. My IG is the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. So if you would, please follow me on Instagram, the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. Again, in the near future, I'll be posting a lot of great content. That's also where I'm going to be posting the show's upcoming topics and where we'll be able to dialogue a little bit more in between shows. So again, I'm going to ask that you follow me on the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. On Instagram if you have not done so already. All right, so let's dive right in. One of the topics that we're going to be talking about today, man, I'm so excited I can barely say it. In fact, before we get into that, I do want to ask, for those of you that are, for your drinkers out there, if you drink wine, if you drink Hennessy, if you're a Crown drinker, if you get loose on the goose, whatever your vice is, pour up a little bit, because I think today's topics are going to, you might need to sip a little something while we're dissecting some of these, especially this first one. All right, so let's get into it. Main topic today, one of the main topics are the toxic sayings or phrases that have been normalized in the Black community. So as Black people, I believe that we are charged with the responsibility of unlearning just as much as we are with learning. So many toxic ways of thinking and narratives are embedded in us from birth. These thoughts become our truth. They shape our perspective and distort the lens through which we view life. Generation to generation, we have normalized so many toxic thoughts, traits, sayings, and phrases, and we absolve ourselves of the responsibility of dismantling these beloved or sacred phrases and sayings by dismissing them as quote-unquote Black culture. Today, I want to put them on the spotlight, and I want to put them on notice. We've got to really make sure that we start to address some of these toxic sayings and phrases that we have normalized. I think that from generation to generation, some of the things that we say, when you really think about it and when you really put these things into perspective, when you really dissect some of these sayings, it's like, what the world were they teaching me as a child? And what the world am I doing as an adult now passing these phrases on or normalizing these phrases with our future generation? So let's dive in. Now, for me, one of the things that I believe is toxic and one of the things that I really don't like, and I find it to be more common in the Black community, is when we add the word little, when we precede things with the word little. And what I mean by that is, you know, I see you got a little job, or I see you got you a new little car, or I see, where's your little friend, or where's your little this. And I think that not only is it toxic, but I'm going to say this, and let me be very clear. I don't want this. This is not about a gay or straight thing, but I've got to be honest. As a gay Black male, one of the things that I detest is when people say, and I'm going to be honest, it's normally people in the Black community, when they say, "Where's your little friend?" And I oftentimes feel that that's a way of devaluing or dismissing a person that you're romantically involved with because they don't agree with your sexuality. And I just think that it's, I hate it. I have a huge issue with it. You guys tell me what you think. I want to hear from you. What are some of the toxic sayings and phrases that you feel we've normalized in the black community? Feel free to call in. The guest call-in number is 563-999-3589. You can call in now. We can talk about it. Of course, I'm going to go through some of the feedback that I got on Instagram. But if you'd like to call in, I'd love to hear from you and dialogue with you while we're on air live. Again, the phone number is 563-999-3589. So I'm going to go into some of the Instagram feedback that I received, and it was really some good stuff. So I'm really excited to go through it here with you guys while we're online. Again, I want to make sure everybody got the number. If you'd like to call in, the phone number is 563-999-3589. It looks like we have a caller. Let's see. All right, caller, you are on the air.
All right. Can you hear me?
There we go. Yes, you are on the air live. Thank you for calling. What's your name and where are you
from?
All
right. I didn't know I had to do all that. My name is Dee. I'm from Houston. I live in Florida.
Awesome. All right. So you're calling in about toxic sayings and phrases that we've normalized in the black community. All right. Let's hear from you.
Absolutely. So hello, everyone, on the blue chair chat with CJ. I think that this is something that certainly needs to be talked about. I was one of the people that, you know, commented on your, I think it was Instagram post. There's a couple, but I'll save time and I'll just go with one around just like, I guess I'll say communication. Anyway, so the terminology that we probably all have heard is, you know, what happens in this house stays in this house, right? If I could see y'all right now, everybody would probably be raising their hand right now. But I think that that's toxic. I think that that does so many things that are detrimental. You know, I think that there are a lot of secrets in the black families that, you know, are still cursing generation after generation. Because, you know, we have this false ideology that, you know, we can't talk about certain things and other people can't help us outside of our families with certain things. And there's a lot of wounds, there's a lot of unhealed wounds, you know, in our families that will never get healed because ain't nobody talking about it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. What else, what do you feel are some other toxic things or phrases that we've normalized?
Okay, I guess one similar to that, you know, relating to the family specifically is you don't have no friends outside of this house. You know?
Absolutely.
That is another one because you start to, I guess, you know, as you grow older and you really start to learn life, you know, there are absolutely relationships outside of your house that are valuable, that are necessary, you know, for your growth, for your evolution. And I think that, you know, instilling that in children, black children at a young age, you know, again, you know, I go back to that false, you know, the false ideology that we grow up in, it handicapped us from building, you know, genuine and organic
Absolutely.
Relationships sometimes with other people that God have placed in our path to help us be who we are destined to be, you know?
Absolutely.
So those are the two that I will that I'll share. I'll let somebody else chime in, but thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Of course.
Thank you. I couldn't agree more. I agree. I think that there are so many relationships that we build in our adult lives outside of our family that are not only necessary, but they grow us and they challenge us. And sometimes they're more beneficial to us than the relationships that we have formed with some of our family members. So I think when we adopt that false ideology that you don't have any friends outside of your home or friends outside of your family, I think that prevents you from making those necessary connections and maybe even from aligning yourself with people that God's placed in your life to elevate you. So I definitely agree. Looking at some of the comments or some of the feedback that we got, one of the responses was when people say you gained some weight. We hear that a lot from black people. It's the audacity for me. But people, you know, we hear that. One person said, you look just like your mama or daddy. Then I got one that says, asking a tall child if they play basketball or sports. That's a big one. He all boy. I don't even have the time in the day to go there. Not only is that something that black people or people in the black community tend to say, if he's not all boy, then what is he? Is he part boy? Because according to some of you, that wouldn't be okay either. But we're not going to get into that. That's definitely one of the ones. All right. Some of the other feedback that we received is, quote unquote, keeping it real. This person said it's just a subliminal excuse to be rude or nice and nasty. She also said, quote unquote, you only get one mom and dad. This person said they feel that it normalizes disrespecting ourselves by engaging with people who continue to hurt us. Telling boys to man up or stop crying. Feel it's dehumanizing and creates emotionally unintelligent men who suppress their feelings. Another person here, let's see, it says, money doesn't grow on trees. What happens in this house stays in this house. You ain't got no friends outside of this house. Blood is thicker than water. You ain't got no wounds. Go to school and get a good job. The list goes on and on, and I could not agree more. And let's dissect some of that. Blood is thicker than water. I would love to hear from you guys because there was a point in my life where that rang true to me. I cannot definitively say, or I'm just going to be honest, I won't say that is true for me now. I don't believe that whole blood is thicker than water thing. I absolutely value the family unit. I think that it is necessary. I think that when it is healthy, it can help to propel us to levels unknown. It can be a village for us, so on and so forth. I don't believe that your family is the only people or is the only village that God places in your life. I think that sometimes we attach ourselves to people in our family simply because they are family. And outside of that, I mean, it took me a long time to realize that just because somebody has a title, aunt, uncle, father, mother, whatever, they are still human. They are still flawed. And I think we hold them to a higher standard because of the relationship. Or the title of their relationship in our lives, but in all actuality, they're just a human, and many of them have toxic traits. All right, so let's go to another one here. All right, one person said the same thing: you ain't got no wants, and you ain't got no friends outside of this house. I think it's common in the black community. To tell people not to talk to people outside of the home, to tell, you know, for parents to tell children not to tell their business. And I think that we don't realize, or many parents, especially when I was growing up, did not realize, or in this case, even now, do not realize that talking to somebody is necessary. There's so much healing that is needed. And I think that what's happened as a result, and as the last caller said, what's happened, what we tell people or what we teach children when we tell them not to talk to anyone or not to share things is to suppress all of the things that they deal with, all the things that they're going through, to internalize it. And as a result, we have a lot of broken adults. We have a lot of adults who won't seek the guidance or the therapy that they need because they're still protecting protecting the people or protecting the house secret from when they were children. We've got a lot of adults right around here right now that won't open up to a therapist, that won't open up to a person that can help them because they are still protecting or holding on to secrets, that, you know, to things that they were when they were sworn to secrecy as a child. All right, we're going to move on. On the docket, or on our main topics today, we had another topic, and I got some really interesting feedback. And so it's cheating. What do you consider cheating in today's dating landscape? I got some really interesting feedback, and I want to encourage you guys to call in. If you are listening, the call-in number is 563-999-3589. Again, the number is 563-999-3589. I would love to hear from you, and I would love to discuss on air what you think. So I believe that cheating starts with the thought. Before you ever get to the physical act, I believe that it starts with the thought. I think it starts in your thoughts. Cheating, and not that this is the topic, but I want to add it. Cheating, for me, cheating is an awful thing. And what makes it awful is the lies that you have to tell when you cheat. The lies, for me, are more harmful than the act. But I'm going to go straight to the comments and give you guys feedback. All right, so one person said, anything outside of harmony. Another person said, physically, mentally, and or emotionally devoting yourself to another party. That's what's considered cheating. Another person said, kissing someone back is considered cheating. Now, when I got this comment about the kissing someone back, I told this person that I would be talking about this today, because I found it really interesting that they said kissing someone. First of all, I believe that if you put yourself in a position or you're in a situation where someone feels comfortable enough to kiss you, I think we've already opened the door to cheating. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what – I've not been in that situation, but I don't know any time that I've just been walking down the street minding my business and somebody just said, oh, you look great. Let me kiss you. But, you know, if that person is listening, feel free to call in and let us know what you mean. 563-999-3589. Again, if you're just joining in, I do encourage you or invite you to join me on Instagram. I'd love to dialogue with you there. My Instagram is The Blue Chair Chat with CJ. The Blue Chair Chat with CJ. Staying on cheating for a little while, why do you guys think that people cheat to begin with? And I mean, I know that topic is one that probably, I don't know if anyone can have a definitive answer or if there is even really an answer at all. I've always been one to think that if you get to a place where you feel like you need to cheat on somebody, just leave. But I also understand that many people are just that selfish, or that greedy rather. Now, since we're on this topic, I'm going to say, I want to talk about this and then we're going to move on. Oftentimes when I talk about males, and specifically male cheaters, but when I talk about males, I say that males are collectors. And what do I mean by that? I think that in today's dating landscape, very rarely will you find a male who is completely free, not dating, not in a relationship, connected to their past, just out here living their lives and not connected to anyone or anything. I think that that is very rare, and here is why. I believe that men are collectors. I think that most men never cut people off. They tend to put things on ice. They put people on pause, put them in their pocket so they can pull them out when it's convenient for them. How many times do you meet a person or a male that just says, they might say it, but who are truly not connected to anyone, not in their past, not somebody they're dating, not somebody they quote-unquote talking to, I believe that it's very rare. It's very rare. And you might, somebody out there might be thinking, well, I've met somebody. Well, you know what? I'm going to challenge you because they may have said it. But I find I have a hard time believing it. I think that, yeah, it's selfish, but they put you in their pocket. They put people in their pocket, and they walk around. Because you're in their pocket, their hands are free. So they are seemingly available and seemingly free. But just in case they're not able to pick you up and fill their hands with you, they got somebody in their pocket they can pull on out. If you disagree with that, or if you agree, I would love to hear from you. Feel free to call in at 563-999-3589. 563-999-3589. If you don't call in, feel free to DM me on the Blue Chair Chat with CJ on Instagram. I would love to know what your thoughts are on that topic. Again, if you didn't hear it, it's 563-999-3589. All right, let's get to our etiquette segment. Etiquette segment for today's show is going to be texting do's and don'ts. What are the texting do's and the texting don'ts? All right, so for me, I believe that texting has a tone. Texting, you have a tone in your text. And I think that it's important to be aware of what your tone is in your text message. Sometimes people act like they're oblivious to this point. I know I can't be the only one. I would love to hear somebody weigh in on this. So for me, my pet peeves or my don'ts would be long conversations. If this isn't something short and sweet that we can resolve in a few words, don't text me, or that we can discuss in a few words, don't text me. Give me a call. The other one is when you don't include a salutation. So I think that when you text somebody, particularly in the morning, if you text me in the morning, and you just go straight to whatever it is that you're talking about or your need, I find that to be rude. I find it to be in poor taste. You should always start a message for me, especially in the morning, with a salutation. Good morning. You know, even if it's, did you receive my email or did you get my text last night, it should be preceded with good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Hope all is well. I just think that if we have not been in, if we haven't been having a consistent conversation, why would you just text me and not give a salutation? But let me know what you guys think. I'm going to go to the comments on or the messages on Instagram and see where you guys weighed in. So one person says answering their texting don'ts will be answering over 24 hours later. Two damn long text messages is what they put, and death notices via text messages that should be phone calls. That's a good one. People that tell you somebody died via text, who raised you? Why would you do that? That is a great one, actually. Another person says not capitalizing the word I, that's a good one, not capitalizing the beginning of sentences, responding 16 hours later, that's very specific. Calling in response to a text, y'all, I hate when people call me in response to a text. If I text you, that means that I text you for a reason. Don't call me in response to a text. And I'm going to be honest, and I know she's probably going to text me. Every time I text her, she calls me. And I'm always confused, like, what is the point in texting if you're just going to call me? Starting a conversation and then stopping, that's a big one. If you're not prepared to engage in this conversation with me, if you don't want to see this conversation, if you don't have time to see this conversation through, you drop a bomb on me and then you stop responding, that's a good one. Engage in conversation and then drop off the face of the earth without saying bye. And then this person said using all caps. Yes, I hate when people use all caps anyway. But for those of you listening and you don't know, or using all caps, we still think that you're yelling. So please don't. But not only that, if you use all caps, I honestly start to think you just have an Android phone and you don't know how to turn it off, or maybe it's malfunctioning or something. But those are Android problems. Y'all tell me if that's still a thing. I'm not sure. All right. Again, if you are just now tuning in, please follow me on Instagram at the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. And if you would like to weigh in on any of today's topics, feel free to weigh in. Call in number is 563-999-3589. All right. So let's see. Somebody just messaged me on the Blue Chair Chat with CJ in all caps and says, I'm not yelling at you. Okay. We're going to move on from that. All right. So let's get into our midweek motivation. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. You kind of touched on it a little bit, but the thing that I was going to say is basically I feel like a lot of times people try and hide behind text messages. They try and hide their tone as well, knowing all the well that when you do certain things like put exclamation marks or when you do all caps, for example, it's easy for them to say, oh, no, you just took it the wrong way. It was via text message. I should have called you. They use it as an excuse to not be aware of managing their tone in communicating with you, knowing all the well that had I exhibited the same, you know, behavior and, you know, use whether the exclamation marks or, you know, whatever, maybe not responding or, you know, all caps or whatever, that they would have felt the same way too.
Okay, absolutely. I can agree with that point for sure. Is it anybody you need to call out here on air today?
No? I'll text you
okay.
later.
All right. Thank you so much for that. All right. And thank you for popping up out of the blue because I didn't even know you were still on. Thank you. All right. So we're going to move on. If you want to weigh in on that topic, you still can. We're still here, 563-999-3589. Of course, you can DM me on the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. I'm going to move on to our midweek motivation topics. And I think these are going to be necessary and relevant for a lot of us, especially me. So our first one is celebrating small victories while in pursuit of a greater tomorrow. One of the challenges that I've always found, one of my challenges has always been to celebrate small victories. In fact, whenever I'm asked what my opportunity is, whether it be in a professional or personal setting, that's my opportunity, learning to celebrate victories along the way. Most of the time, I'm so laser focused on the destination. I'm so laser focused on my destiny or my goal that I don't allow my celebrate along the way. And today I'm challenging you to not be so focused on the destination that you don't enjoy the journey. I'm challenging you to give yourself permission to enjoy where you are, even if it's not where you want to be. It's been a hard lesson for me, but it's been a necessary lesson for me. I remember a time when I felt guilty for being content or celebrating or being happy when I wasn't where I wanted to be, because I felt like I was only allowed to celebrate once I made it to my destination, once I reached my goal. Otherwise, you know, that celebration or that joy, I didn't deserve it, or I wasn't deserving of it. And I, for one, before I get ahead of myself, the next thing that we're talking about in today's motivation topics is extending yourself some grace. And so in that situation, I really had to extend myself some grace because I realized that it's all about the journey. There's so much that you learn on the journey, and if we're being honest, many times you spend more time in the journey than you do once you reach your destination. And why would we spend so much time going somewhere or working on a goal, heading to our destination, and only to be miserable until we get there? And we might not even spend much time there because there's going to be another journey and another destination following that. So, again, I challenge you guys today, whatever it is that you're going through or wherever you are in life or whatever you're facing, celebrate those small victories. if it's weight loss, celebrate the pound, celebrate the 2 pounds, celebrate the 5 pounds. They are equally as important as the 20, the 30, the 50, the 100. And I wasn't going to talk about this today, but I'm going to go ahead and go there. You know, I'm going to go ahead and be transparent and use myself as an example with that. So if you know me personally, then you know that last year I decided to embark on a weight loss journey. And I started on a Wednesday. And the reason why I bring that up is because I knew that in the past I had made the decision to start on the first of the month or the first of the year or the beginning of the week or some type of, you know, day that I felt was significant. And this particular time it was very different because I told myself in this moment, you know, it wasn't a morning, it was the middle of the day, and I said, I'm going to start now. I'm going to start right here, right now, and I've decided that my life would never be the same from that moment. And I made a commitment. In doing that, the thing that was different about me going or working towards this particular goal was that I decided to celebrate along the way. I knew that I wanted to lose a substantial amount of weight. I knew what my end goal was, but I celebrated every pound, every third pound, every fourth pound, every fifth pound. And I celebrated it because I told myself, even if I don't lose anymore, if I never lose another pound, I'm going to be grateful and thankful that I lost this because I know the work that I put into it. I know the sacrifices that I made. And because I had gratitude and because I allowed myself or extended myself the grace that was necessary, this journey was very different than any journey that I'd ever went on in the past, particularly with weight loss. I tried to lose weight many times before. I tried drops, the ones you put on your tongues, HCG drops. I tried the little diet places that you go to and they give you all the pills and all of that. I tried this, I tried that. And it was very, very interesting to me that the moment that I decided to extend myself some grace, to do things my way, and to say I'm going to take this 1 pound at a time, and I'm going to do this one day at a time, and I'm going to allow myself to feel all the feels, that was the time that I succeeded, 1 pound at a time, from 1 pound to 90 pounds. And it was literally one day at a time. And so I say that to say, you know, not to say that everyone's on a weight loss journey, but I'll tell you that it was a challenging feat, but it was so necessary and it was so rewarding and eye-opening for me because I had an opportunity to really practice what I preach and, again, to really celebrate those victories along the way. So while I lost 90 pounds, I'll tell you, I had 90 celebrations along the way, and each one was equally as important. I have hundreds of photos in my phone from 1 pound to the next pound to the next pound, and all of them were victories for me. I know what each moment felt like. And because I allowed myself to experience each moment in itself became its own milestone. And so what I did by doing that was created a ladder. Each one was a step. I built the foundation for each step by allowing myself to feel what I felt. To talk a little bit more about the other motivation topic today, extending yourself some grace, let's be clear. Life is hard. Life is hard, and for some, it seems that it is seemingly easier than others. But I want to encourage someone today that you may be going through something or you may have gone through something and it may seem like you have been dealt a bad hand or it may seem like whatever it is that you want to do in your life, whatever you dream, whatever you set your sights on, it just falls through. It never works. I want to encourage you to extend yourself some grace because if you're still here, you still have a purpose. There have been many times where I have felt in my life that I was just here, that I was just sitting on the sidelines of life and I was a victim of circumstances and nothing was fair. And I thought that, you know, I was just here, and my purpose was to celebrate others and motivate them, and that was it. I was so critical. I was so hard on myself, so harsh on myself. I didn't allow myself to – I didn't extend myself any grace. And I had to realize that I had been – I had extended grace to so many people, people that had hurt me, people that I had trusted that had broken my heart, people that had lied to me, stolen from me, so on and so forth. And I was able to forgive them and extend grace. But for myself, I lived in guilt and shame. I constantly bashed myself. I bashed, you know, at the time, for my size and this and that and so on and so forth. And I just started to extend myself some grace and treat myself better than I had been treating myself. So I say all that to say, take some time to take an inventory and realize that you are still here for a reason. Realize that there is more good than bad. And extend yourself some grace. If you're not there, you're going to get there. So that is my topic for Motivation Monday. And I am actually going to open it up again for you guys to call in if you have anything you would like to add at 563-999-3589. Again, the number is 563-999-3589. If you haven't done so already, I would love for you to join me on Instagram at the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. Let's see here. I am going through. Somebody's typing in here now. Okay, let's see. I see you. Oh, we lost them. All right, I don't know who that was trying to call in, but we lost you. Caller, are you there? If you're there, then please unmute because we cannot hear you. Caller, if you're there, please unmute because we cannot hear you. Okay, so while we're waiting on this person to get their phones together, just go ahead and call back in, whoever you are, and I will accept you back in. While we're waiting on that, I'll tell you guys another journey that I've been on this year. I committed this year to being a nicer version of myself. And the reason why I decided to do that is because I realized that a lot of my responses and a lot of my behaviors were just rooted in being mean. And I wanted to change that. I wanted to make sure that my interactions with people that they got to truly see my heart. I did not want to be one of those people anymore where, you know, that went around being ugly and saying, God knows my heart, God knows my heart. You know, I wanted who I am to show in my interactions with people. And I've really put in some work this year with that. And it's been very, very interesting because there was a time when I would go through and I was on autopilot and I would tell people, you know, hello, how are you? And it was just a formality, something I say and ask, and if they responded, you know, I never really knew what they said because I didn't care to begin with. And so I decided to slow that down and really start to engage with people and interact with people in a way that I wanted to receive what they had to say, where I would listen and where I wanted to be more genuine. And it's been a very interesting journey. If you know me, you know that it's not been an easy one because, you know, I'll be honest, I encounter some people and I didn't care and quite frankly still don't care how they're doing and sometimes it is a formality. But I wanted to be a nicer person and I wanted to make sure that I showed my heart and the condition of my heart, and it's been an interesting journey. I say all that to say this year or last year has been a very, very difficult year. And since we have some time while we're waiting on someone to call, I want to encourage you guys. If you're one of those people that's walking around mean and ugly and being nasty towards people, I've been there. And I'll tell you, it's so much better on the other side. There's nothing attractive about being mean-spirited to people. And I truly believe that, you know, what's the saying? You get more sugar with sweet, or hell, maybe that's one of them toxic sayings that black people say. Shit, I don't know. All right. As you can tell on this show, we love God, but we curse a little bit. Okay. That person didn't call back. So because this is my show and I can do what I want because that's my business, in the words of Tabitha Brown, we're going to stop here today. So much for tuning in to the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. Stick with us as we continue to grow and learn and hopefully heal together. Follow me on Instagram at the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. And other than that, until next time, I wish you all the best. Celebrate those small victories along the way. Extend yourself some grace. Stop texting people stupid shit. If you're a cheater, then stick some super glue up there or cut your stuff off. And I think I covered every – oh, and if you're one of those people that is still using those toxic phrases that black people say, get your life together. Until next time, y'all have a good one.